Good evening and welcome to this live telephone town hall. On this telephone town hall tonight, we will be presenting information on the California High Speed Rail Authority Los Angeles to Anaheim project section, and we will be answering your questions live. Our speakers will be joining us in just a moment, but first, I want to tell you how you can participate in tonight's telephone town hall meeting. Press 0 if you have a question. Press 0 if you have a question. You will be placed in a queue and our operators will assist you in asking your question. And then our speakers will answer as many questions as possible, time permitting. If you do have a question but don't want to go live on the air, you can just let your operator know and I can read the question for you, whatever's most comfortable for you. You can also press 7 to submit your email address to get the very latest news and updates from the California High Speed Rail Authority. We've had some new friends and neighbors join us, so I'm going to repeat myself as we welcome these new folks. We welcome everyone to this live telephone town hall. Tonight we're going to be presenting information on the California High Speed Rail Authority Los Angeles to Anaheim project section, and we'll be answering your questions live. Our speakers are going to be joining us in just a moment, but first I want to tell you how you can participate in tonight's telephone town hall. Simply press 0 on your keypad if you have a question. You can press 0 now or at any point throughout the call if you have a question. You will be placed in a queue and our operators will then assist you in asking your question live on the air. Our speakers are going to get to as many questions as they possibly can tonight, time permitting. If you do have a question but don't want to go live, you can just let your operator know and I can read the question for you, whatever's most comfortable for you. You can also press 7 to submit your email address to get the very latest news and updates from the California High Speed Rail Authority. Now, before we turn the call over to our speakers, I want to let you know that this call will be recorded and that all questions asked this evening will not be considered as part of an official public comment. You can visit www.meethsrsocal.org for more information. And with that, I'll turn the call over to Genoveva Arellano. Please take it away, Heno.
Excellent, Ivan. Thank you so much. And good evening, everyone. Welcome. On behalf of the California High Speed Rail Authority, bienvenidos, and welcome to our phone call this evening. While many public agencies have moved to a completely virtual online public outreach for their programs due to this very unfortunate pandemic we are experiencing, we thought we would also offer the tried and true method of communication, a telephone call, as a simple way for you to ask a question without a high-tech device. So thank you for joining us this evening. As Ivan mentioned, my name is Genoveva Arellano, and as a member of the authority's public outreach team, I will serve as the facilitator of today's call. First, I will provide you with a brief background about the Los Angeles to Anaheim project section, which is what we are talking about today. Second, I will give you more information about the environmental process and the document that is involved here. And then we will open it up to your questions. Our project team from the California High Speed Rail Authority and our partner Burlington Northern Santa Fe Railway, or BNSF, are ready to answer your questions tonight. I will ask them to introduce themselves now so that you can hear their voice and know their names, and then I'll proceed with the rest of my information. So today we have four members of our project team available to answer your questions, and we also have some additional staff available as needed. So I'm going to ask our four panelists to introduce themselves, and Bruce, if you can start us off.
I'm Bruce Armstead, Director of Operations and Maintenance for the California High Speed Rail Authority. I'm also serving as the Regional Director for Southern California.
Great. Diane?
Good evening, everybody. Thank you for joining us. My name is Diane Ricard, and I'm the Project Manager for the Los Angeles Anaheim to Anaheim Project Section of California High Speed Rail.
Excellent. Tyler, if you can introduce yourself.
Hello, everybody. Tyler Bonstead. I am the consultant team project manager leading the engineering and environmental work for the Los Angeles-Anaheim corridor.
Excellent. And Lena, please introduce yourself.
Hi, my name is Lena Kent. I'm the Director of Public Affairs for the BNSF Railway based out here in the Inland Empire.
Beautiful. And I would like you to know we have an additional set of folks who are available to answer other questions as needed. We have Harry Boxler, who is our environmental lead from the California High-Speed Rail Authority. We also have Ali Mir, who is our environmental lead of the consultant team. We have Jen Labrato, outreach lead of the consultant team, and Jennifer Jones, who is our senior right-of-way agent for the California High-Speed Rail Authority. So that's your team. You're in very good hands today. So during and at the end of the call, I will remind you with important information on how to submit a formal scoping public comment, where to go to get additional information in our next steps. I recommend, if you don't already, to have a pen and paper handy to jot down some additional information provided during our call today. Everything is always available to you on our website. As Ivan mentioned, that website name is meethsrsocal.org. I'll be repeating that over the course of the call, so you want to make sure to jot that down. But I would like to also emphasize a few key points of information during our call today. So just be ready to jot down some phone numbers and some other key points. Before jumping into the project history and background of this very important project, I would like you to note that tonight's telephone town hall is being recorded, as mentioned. Also know that our call is intended for you to be informational only, and we want to ensure that you know how to prepare your formal comments to submit during this formal scoping process. So your questions and your comments provided to us this evening will not be considered your official scoping comments themselves. So we hope you're asking questions just to help inform yourself about how to present your comment prior to the deadline. Also, today's telephone call is being interpreted simultaneously in Spanish. So for those of you who may be interested in hearing this call in Spanish, there is a separate phone line for that. That number is 844-881-1317. So how it will work, we will be answering or taking questions from any Spanish callers on that separate line. They will be announced here in English and answered by our panelists and interpreted back to them in Spanish. So I'm going to repeat this very quickly in Spanish in case we have any Spanish callers on the line who may want to join the other phone number. Si ustedes están aquí para escuchar nuestra presentación, por favor, pueden llamar otra línea en español para recibir la traducción en español. Ese número de teléfono es 844-881-1317. Gracias. This is not always necessary to say, but I'm going to go ahead and just ask everyone during our call today to please be respectful. We are definitely looking to provide good public information, so any threatening, profane, or any other inappropriate language will not be permitted. Any disruptive participants will be removed from the call so we can focus on providing really good public information. So first, I would like to provide you some history and project background. As many of you know, the California High-Speed Rail Program has been in the planning stages for many years, actually since the 1990s. In 2008, California voters passed Proposition 1A, which is what allowed the project to move forward with planning and obtaining funding for construction. Steadily, the project has moved forward, and the first phase is already under construction in California's Central Valley. Here in Southern California, besides making early investments into the rail and transportation infrastructure that will support high-speed trains in the future, we are completing the required environmental documents on four project sections between Bakersfield all the way to Anaheim in order to be ready for future construction. These Southern California sections are part of phase one of the California high-speed rail system, which ultimately will connect San Francisco all the way down to Anaheim. But today, we are discussing the Los Angeles to Anaheim project section, which is one of these four sections and will provide a vital 30-mile link between Los Angeles Union Station to the Anaheim Regional Transportation Intermodal Center, or ARTIC, in Anaheim. The Los Angeles to Anaheim project section is the southernmost link of phase one and will use the existing shared Los Angeles, San Diego, San Luis Obispo, otherwise known as the Low Sand Urban Rail Corridor here in Southern California. This corridor currently supports passenger and freight rail services, including Metrolink, Amtrak, the BNSF. It is approximately 30-mile corridor, and it travels through 12 cities, including Los Angeles, Vernon, Commerce, Bell, Montebello, Pico Rivera, Norwalk, Santa Fe Springs, La Mirada, Buena Park, Fullerton, and Anaheim, as well as portions of unincorporated Los Angeles County. So the reason we are reaching out to you today and having this phone call, reaching out to the public now, is because of two additional project components which need to be publicly known and included in the project description and the environmental document for the Los Angeles to Anaheim project section. These project components have been added in order to improve both regional passenger rail and freight operations. These two project components are further to the east of the Los Angeles to Anaheim project section and include a new BNSF intermodal facility in the city of Colton and BNSF staging tracks further north in the unincorporated area of Linwood near Barstow in the Inland Empire. So these projects are needed in order to avoid disruption of existing service and projected train congestion that would otherwise occur with the implementation of the high-speed rail in the proposed rail corridor that is primarily owned by BNSF. So let me give you a quick description about each of these two project components. The BNSF Colton project will be an intermodal freight facility that will process freight trains that cannot be accommodated in the Los Angeles to Fullerton right-of-way that is owned by BNSF. It is located at the former Cal Portland aggregate plant at Slover Mountain near the city of Colton. And the proposed BNSF Linwood project will provide four staging tracks adjacent to the BNSF's existing mainline. This will provide necessary staging of trains prior to entering the Los Angeles to Anaheim corridor limits during and after high-speed rail construction. So as a result of these components, the California High-Speed Rail Authority is now conducting a revised scoping process for these environmental studies. This is what we are here to explain to you today and why we are formally conducting this 30-day public comment period. So let me explain to you just a little bit about the environmental documents and the process. So for your information, the Los Angeles to Anaheim project section has already been presented in public scoping in 2007. However, as I described, we now have two new project components. Therefore, we are coming back out to the public for this formal public scoping period. Formally, in order to include the BNSF Colton Intermodal Facility and the Linwood staging tracks, a revised Notice of Intent, or NOI, and a revised Notice to Proceed, or NOP, have been prepared by the authority and released last week on Tuesday, August 25th, 2020. The release of these two documents, the NOI and the NOP, officially initiated the scoping process. The current 30-day scoping period will help inform the public of the two new project components, and any formal scoping comments submitted will be considered and be part of the development of the draft environmental document for the Los Angeles to Anaheim high-speed rail project. In addition, scoping will allow you to learn more about the state and federal requirements, the environmental review processes, provide comments on any project concerns and possible solutions that need to be addressed in the draft environmental document, which is currently scheduled for release next year, spring of 2021. Please know that this environmental document will be a draft, and it is not final until all comments have been responded to, any necessary changes included, and the Board of Directors of the California High-Speed Rail Authority formally adopts the project. The draft environmental document is also known as the draft EIR-EIS, or the Draft Environmental Impact Report, which is the document required by the state, and the Environmental Impact Statement, which is required by the federal government. For your information, the specific environmental laws which govern the preparation of these documents are the California Environmental Quality Act, or CEQA, for the state, and the National Environmental Policy Act, or NEPA, for the federal government. While the main corridor of the Los Angeles to Anaheim section has already gone through scoping, the new project components have not. So we are at the early stage for this part of the project, and the full environmental analysis work here has not yet been completed. So please know that the project team today may not have specific answers to specific questions. For example, you may have questions that relate to traffic, specific air quality issues, what the level of noise may be, or what property impacts may occur as a result of the project, as it relates to the two project components or the project overall. Specific answers to these type of questions are not yet known, as the impact analysis is still being conducted and will be part of the draft environmental document, again, to be released next year. This will include the full detail about project impacts for the entire project. So this is part of the process. This is how the state and federal law lays out what the agency is required to disclose to the public and the process that we must take in order to ensure that public comment is being considered. The purpose of scoping is mainly to hear your input on the scope of work that the authority is conducting as outlined in the Notice of Preparation and Notice of Intent. In other words, your comments received in response to the revised NOI and NOP will inform the scope of environmental analyses included in the draft environmental document. If you have not reviewed the NOP and NOI, you can access this on our project website. So again, if you haven't already written this down, please do. The project website is meethsrsocal.org. Let me spell that out for you. It's the letters M as in Mary, E-E-T, H-S-R-S-O-C-A-L.org. These documents have been translated also into 5 different languages to review and are available on the website here as well. The languages include Spanish, Tagalog, Japanese, Korean, and Chinese. Again, the NOP and NOI has been available for public review starting last Tuesday, August 25th, and all formal comments are due by Thursday, September 24th. This is a 30-day comment period, so we have another 3 weeks until Thursday, September 24th, when the public comment period will close. I encourage you to read these documents as they contain all the information publicly available about this proposed project. They're not too lengthy. The NOP is 11 pages and the NOI is 5 pages long. So please seek those out and receive the full information about what is being proposed. To that end, the authority has conducted extended scoping outreach to affected parties, local elected officials, key community and business stakeholders, environmental agencies, and the public at large. And we are having today's telephone town hall and continuing our outreach efforts to make sure the public knows about this important milestone and knows how to give us formal comments. So again, some important dates and times for you to note. We have scheduled 2 public scoping meetings. These are formal public scoping meetings for you to learn more about the project and to provide your formal comments. At those meetings, we will be accepting formal comments. The 2 dates are next Thursday, September 10th. A 2.5-hour meeting between 5 o'clock p.m. and 7:30 p.m. However, at 6:30, the meeting will repeat in Spanish. The second date is Saturday, September 12th, between 10 a.m. and 12:30 p.m. Similarly, we will be conducting a Spanish presentation, which will be repeated in Spanish at 11:30 that morning. These are completely virtual online or Zoom meetings, but you can also call in completely off a telephone line like you are doing tonight. And I have those phone numbers if you want to jot them down to do a call-in as opposed to using a Zoom link. For the English scoping meeting on both dates, the phone number is the same. The number is 669-900-9128. For the Spanish meeting, as I mentioned, both of them will be repeated in Spanish. The same phone number is available for both meetings. The Spanish scoping meeting phone number is 669 800-900-6833. I can also let you know that formal comments, in addition to being received during those two scoping meetings, can also be left by voicemail on the project hotline, on the Los Angeles to Anaheim Project Section helpline. And that phone number is 877-669-0494. You'll just need to indicate that your comment is a formal comment on the LA to A Project Section. That is a helpline that's available also to answer questions or to receive other project information. You would just need to indicate that you're requesting something by leaving your name and phone number, and a staff member will follow up with you. There are two other ways of you providing formal comments for the project section, and that is by email. The email address is losangeles_anaheim@hsr.ca.gov. You'll just need to include the subject line scoping comment in your email. Let me repeat that email address. It's los.angeles_anaheim@hsr.ca.gov. Finally, the additional way of providing a formal public comment, again by Thursday, September 24th, is by mail. The mailing address needs to be put to the attention of Mr. Mark McLaughlin. McLaughlin is spelled McLaughlin. He is Director of Environmental Services. Please include Los Angeles to Anaheim Project Section. Addressed to the California High Speed Rail Authority. Mailing address is 770 L as in Larry, L Street, Suite 620, MS-2, so that would be like mail stop, dash 2, Sacramento, California, 95814. So one other piece of information, which is important, some of you may want to take advantage of, is to schedule an appointment with an authority staff member to, again, ask any questions about the project. These are formal, or rather voluntary office hours, and we'll give you the four dates that are currently available, and you can just give us a call at 877-669-0494. Again, that's our helpline to request an appointment. You can also schedule an appointment via the website, the meethsrsocal.org website. Just find the link that says schedule office hours, and you can fill out that form and request it there for these 15-minute appointments. There are four that are available beginning next Friday, September 11th, from 1 o'clock to 3 p.m. So we're doing them in two-hour increments. The following Monday, September 14th, from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., then Wednesday, September 16th, from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. And then the final date is Tuesday, September 22nd, from 12 noon to 2 p.m. Again, as a reminder, project staff cannot answer specific questions regarding property impacts or any other impacts, as the analysis has not yet been completed and this information is not publicly available, not known. The purpose of our public scoping period is to obtain your input about the scope of work being proposed and your input about the project. So please schedule some time if you would like to talk more about that. And if these times don't work for you, let us know. Our staff has been really great at accommodating other requests. Once again, today's town hall, telephone town hall is intended to provide you with ways on how to prepare your comments to submit during the scoping process and to provide general overview of the project. It is not a formal method of your public comment. So I will return back to our panelists. That was a lot of information. Hopefully that was helpful. But now we can jump right into your questions. So Ivan, I'm going to pass it back to you and begin with our questions from our callers. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Genoveva. Folks, if you've joined us in the last few minutes, we want to welcome you to this live telephone town hall for the California High Speed Rail, LA to Anaheim section. If you have a question, we're here to answer your question, so just hit 0 on your keypad. We're going to be taking your questions live, so please hit 0 on your keypad. Our first question came in from Anne in Anaheim. And Anne asked for her question to be read. Tyler, if you can help me with this. Anne didn't realize that the project was moving forward and wonders what is going to happen to homes that need to be moved.
Sure. So let me talk to a couple things on that. So the project is moving forward, at least the environmental clearance for it is what we are doing right now. And this scoping is intended to gather comments for the draft environmental document that we'll be releasing next year. When it comes to houses and property acquisitions and things like that, like Genoveva just said, we aren't really able to talk about that in too much detail currently, but we will have a lot of detail in our draft environmental document next year that will describe any property acquisitions that are needed for the project, as well as the types, if they're, say, residential or commercial properties. And then there is a formal process that the High Speed Rail Authority would follow for any type of property acquisitions when we would get to that pretty far down the road. And the thing I think I would note as well is that the core project between Los Angeles to Anaheim follows the existing railroad corridor for basically that entire route. And so we are looking to add additional tracks mainly within the current railroad right-of-way, with much of the effort being spent over these past years trying to minimize how far the project goes beyond those existing property lines. So we are trying to minimize that, and we will provide more detail in our draft environmental document next year.
Thank you very much, Tyler. Our next question comes from Dennis in Anaheim. Dennis, please go ahead with your question.
Yeah, I was wondering, the project, I thought it was shut down, and you know, we could spend this money a lot better than this railway. We don't really need it. We've got Amtrak. What are we going to do with Amtrak and all the other stuff we got? Do you have an answer?
Okay. Well, Dennis, thank you for your question. The High Speed Rail Authority was mandated by the legislature in 2009 to build our system from Los Angeles to Anaheim, which is phase one of our system, and that was done by Prop 1A. So we are required to spend the bond monies that we're spending on High Speed Rail, and that money can't really be used for anything else. And the California High-Speed Rail, we're going to connect mega regions of the state, and it'll result in jobs and a cleaner environment. And when completed, phase one of our system will run from San Francisco to Los Angeles in under 3 hours. And we'll do that at about 200 miles an hour. And with regard to Amtrak and other services, they will be complementary. So they will be essentially feeder services for the High-Speed Rail service. So in areas where we run blended, we'll run companion or side by side, and then we have our own dedicated right-of-way that will run through the Central Valley. And then where Amtrak exists in the north, in the Northern California region, we will connect with them there. So the connection of Los Angeles to San Francisco at less than 3 hours is what we're going to do that's beyond the rail services that are provided now.
Thanks very much, Bruce, for that response. Folks, we also invite you to hit 7 on your keypad to submit your email address to the California High-Speed Rail. This way, they'll keep you updated through email whenever they have updates. So hit 7 on your keypad. We've got operators standing by to help you. We're going to take our next question from Mike. Mike, can you tell us where you're calling from, and then go ahead with your question. Are you there, Mike? All right, let me read Mike's question. Will the train reach Pico Riviera?
So this is Tyler. I'll answer that one. short answer is yes. The project will go through Pico Rivera, basically following the existing railroad track that lies just a block or two north of Slauson Avenue. However, as of now, we are not proposing a station in Pico Rivera. So probably for, say, Pico Rivera residents, the place you would go to catch High Speed Rail when this goes through would be either the Norwalk Santa Fe Springs station a little bit to the south, or the Los Angeles station that would be located at Los Angeles Union Station to the north. So the project will be going through Pico Rivera, but not stopping.
Thank you very much. Here's our next question. This is Harry calling in from Colton, and he's got a question for Diane. Go ahead, Harry.
Yes, I'm concerned about the Colton component project. Well, my niece and nephew are property owners here in Colton, and I understand that the rail line is going to go through a partial part of their property, and they're concerned about how much property is going to be used up on this rail line.
Hi, Harry. Thank you very much for your question. This project is under study right now, and that has not been determined. So we are currently conducting the environmental studies and analysis, and information on the property that is needed will be available when the draft environmental impact statement and draft environmental impact report are released. And during that time, all of the documents will be made available for public review, and there will be a formal public comment period. So that's not a question that we're able to answer currently.
Thank you very much, Diane. Up next, we have Donald calling in from Orange. And Donald asked for his question to be read. And Tyler, if you can help us with this question, how will this affect people whose homes by the track? Do you have a plan for controlling the noise?
Yeah, well, I think what I can say is that a major part of the environmental document is describing basically the benefits and impacts of the project to people that live by the tracks right now. Like I said before, the new high-speed rail tracks are basically proposed in the same corridor and right-of-way as where the current BNSF, Amtrak, and Metrolink trains run between Los Angeles and Anaheim. And so we would be looking to modify the corridor, add additional tracks, electrify it for high-speed rail, and the document will describe the effects of that to the surrounding neighborhoods. And from a noise standpoint, there will be a very detailed analysis of noise and vibration that is done based on federal standards for railroad noise, basically. And any places where we do show severe noise impacts, we will be proposing mitigation in attempt to address them. So noise and vibration will be a very important part of the environmental document that will be released next year.
Thank you. We've got another question for Tyler. This comes from Linda in Anaheim. I'm going to read Linda's question. Does the project include destruction of building and construction of separate high-speed railway, including a new station in Fullerton?
Yeah, so I think I've talked to this a little bit in a couple of my previous responses. There will likely be some building acquisitions as part of the project, which we will outline in our environmental document. When it comes to the specific configuration in Fullerton, that is a station is proposed there for high-speed rail. It would not really be a new station. It would integrate in with the existing Fullerton Transportation Center where Metrolink and Amtrak trains stop now, basically with new platforms and station facilities for high-speed rail as well. So one of the kind of guiding principles for station design for the high-speed rail project statewide is to do our best to basically plug in the high-speed rail stations into existing transportation centers to really maximize the ability for people to transfer between different modes, easily get there, and tie in to the surrounding community. So the project in Fullerton is proposed to follow the existing railway line and stop near the existing Fullerton train station.
Thank you, Tyler. This is a question for Harry. And this comes from Shirley in Long Beach. And Shirley, will you go ahead with your question live, please?
Hi. Yes. I wanted to ask, how long do you expect this project to last, and how do you expect the to affect the environment?
Okay, yeah, good questions. This is Harry. Thanks for asking. Yeah, this is certainly a long corridor, 30-plus miles with a lot of pieces to it, a lot of components to it, in addition to what we have going on out in Linwood and Colton. So it'll be a phased project. We'll certainly start soon after, at some point after we get all the proper environmental clearances and fundings going on. And, it certainly won't happen all at one time. It's just not possible, not only from a funding standpoint, but also from concerns for impact to the local communities. We'll certainly phase it out when certain things, grade separations will happen at one point, and there'll be additional tracks in certain areas here or there. But that phasing plan is what we call it. Is to be determined. But, and you'll see more details on how that gets phased out or sequenced in the environmental document.
And if I, this is Diane, if I can just add on to Harry's answer, we are doing a very thorough environmental analysis of numerous resource areas to see how this project will impact the environment. And more than 20 resource areas, noise, vibration, traffic, economic impacts, and we encourage you to participate in one of the scoping meetings either on September 10th or September 12th if you have access to the internet, and even if you dial in, because we will be giving a formal presentation and we will go through this in more detail, including how we're analyzing the environmental impacts.
Thank you so much, Harry and Diane. Next up, we're going to take Ted calling in from Barstow. Ted, go ahead with your question, please.
Yes, you said early on that there will be impacts in Linwood. I think you said that there are going to be four new sets of tracks at Linwood. If that's true, how is that going to affect areas to the east, such as the rail yard here in Barstow?
Thank you, Ted, for your question. You know, staging tracks would be built adjacent to the existing BNSF main line in Linwood. And what it would do would be provide necessary space to stage trains that are waiting to get into the Los Angeles to Anaheim corridor. This particular infrastructure is needed to allow trains to stage there while high-speed rail is constructing their portion of the project. And then as well for scheduled maintenance within the high-speed rail passenger rail corridor. And in terms of any impacts, that would be analyzed during the DEI, the draft environmental impact report.
Thank you, Lena. Folks, just a reminder that if you've got a question, you can hit 0 on your keypad. Hit 0 on your keypad. We appreciate all the questions coming in. We're going to keep on answering them. And also, if you would like to submit your email address, please hit 7. Please hit 7 on your keypad to submit your email address. This next question is for Tyler. It comes from Ed in Fullerton. Ed, go ahead. You're live on the air.
Well, thank you for accepting my questions. First of all, I'd like to say most of my friends think this is a waste of money. I actually see the future in this. First of all, I live in Fullerton, and I'm interested in how much track is coming up and how much might go down to, except for the high-speed rail. Luckily, in my area, there seems to be enough room because there's switch gear here for the freight trains. The second part of my question is for the freight that's out near in Colton or whatever. Is there going to be some way to keep that freight from being on the 91 freeway except for overnight? Because if any of you know what the 91 freeway is like, it is a complete zoo. So that's the two questions I have. And I have a third one that I wanted to add because they did some rail work in my neighborhood for about 2 months. And I'm a construction worker. I understand that the backup beeper on the equipment that is a high pitch for safety. Well, it seemed like they put it in neutral and stopped the beeper so it would beep all night long. And a lot of us couldn't sleep for 2 months. So those are some of the things that I have. And I appreciate your time. Thanks for calling me.
Thank you, Ed. I will speak to a couple of these as I can. To start with kind of what's happening with the tracks going through Fullerton, I don't think I can get into a huge amount of detail other than to say that for the most part, they'll be next to the existing tracks. So there's three tracks in many cases through Fullerton today with some sidings like you talked about. And we would be having two tracks for high-speed rail that for the most part would be at the same level as the existing tracks. At this point, getting to your second question, we don't currently have any analysis we're doing as part of our document to look at changing times for freight trains coming through the corridor. We're mainly focused more on high-speed rail trains and passenger trains, but I think that's a good comment for you to give as something for us to look at as part of the document. And then for the last one, when it comes to kind of the noise impacts of construction in your neighborhood, I think that's once again an excellent comment to give during scoping to make sure that we closely look at the potential noise impacts during construction. And if we do have them, that we look for ways to mitigate them so that, like you said, we don't have loud noises, say, in the middle of the night or issues like that. So thanks for the question.
Thanks very much for that. Our next question is for Bruce, and this comes from Barbara in Anaheim. Barbara, you're up. Go ahead, please.
Yes, I'm just wondering. I have another question that's come up. I'm just wondering what the two new bills are, because I also thought this project was shelved. That's part one. Part two is it's about 35 miles from Anaheim to L.A., so we're talking about traveling 200 miles an hour. Okay. It seems like most of the time is going to be spent, if we were to try to go to L.A. from Anaheim, getting parked and getting to the station, and all the logistics are not going to work out right. And then the other thing is, after all this time and money and failure of the project so far, why are we continuing with it? And it does seem like these two proposals or bills seem to be just sneaked in up on us without our knowledge. And so if the project was shelved because 60 feet of track has been laid in 10 years at a very, very, very exorbitant cost, how is this? I don't understand the...
I think we lost Barbara, but I'll try and answer. First of all, Barbara, we are required by the legislature to build the project. And so we're moving along with our project as was required by the bills in 2009. It's called Prop 1A. And if you visit our website, hsr.ca.gov, you will see that we have over 100 miles of railroad currently under construction in the Central Valley. And the two-year 200 miles an hour, we won't be traveling 200 miles an hour between L.A. to Anaheim. It'll be something less than that. And so that piece of it will travel at the speeds similar to the current passenger trains on within that reach. So, and I don't, you asked a lot of questions. Oh, the two bills. I assume you mean the two new project components. And this scoping meeting is meant to do exactly what you're asking, is to explain those two new project components and how they fit in to high-speed rail. I hope that answers your question, and I'm sorry that you got cut off.
Next up, we have Diane, and she's got a question for you, Bruce, so stay close. Go ahead, Diane, calling in from Barstow.
Okay, I see here it says, please read. I'll read Diane's question. Are you planning on having it go from Linwood to Vegas eventually? Also, how will you determine the stops? Well, Diane, we're not going from Linwood to Las Vegas. Our high-speed system is going from San Francisco through L.A. down to Anaheim. And this piece is the L.A. to Anaheim section. The project component in Linwood is necessary for us to make room on the rail corridor between Fullerton and Los Angeles for our high-speed and passenger trains to traverse that area. So we won't be going from Linwood to Las Vegas. We will be going from San Francisco to L.A. There is a high-speed rail passenger service that's planned, but that's not our plan. It's the Brightline service, and you can Google that, and I'm sure you'll find all the information you need on that service to Las Vegas.
Thank you very much, Bruce. Next up, we have a question for Diane. This is Sherry. Go ahead with your question, please, Sherry. Sherry, are you there? I'll read Sherry's question for her. She's wondering, what does Colton, California have to do with the route between LA and San Francisco? Diane?
Hi. So, Sherry, thank you for your question. That's a very good question. And I'm going to answer this. I encourage everyone who has a similar question to, if you can log on to the public scoping meeting on either September 10th or September 12th, whether it is online or using the telephone line, we will explain this again in detail during those meetings. So BNSF owns the railroad right-of-way from Los Angeles to Fullerton. And BNSF has been supportive of passenger rail by allowing passenger rail to use their railroad right-of-way from Los Angeles to Fullerton through a shared use agreement. In the future, with the addition of high-speed rail service on that corridor and the growth of passenger rail services that currently do use the corridor, there will not be enough of capacity to accommodate both passenger rail and freight operations. So by accommodating and processing an average of 10 freight trains per day east of the Los Angeles to Anaheim corridor, then there will be enough of capacity in the Los Angeles to Anaheim corridor for passenger rail services. And in addition, staging tracks are also necessary to hold some of the freight trains destined for Los Angeles to Anaheim during construction of the high-speed rail infrastructure and during times of track maintenance once high-speed rail is operational. Again, people that are listening, if you're able to participate on September 10th or September 12th, you'll have another opportunity to hear about this.
Thanks, Diane. Up next, we have Sheridan calling in, and he's got a question for Bruce. Go ahead, Sheridan, calling in from Fullerton.
Hi. Well, a couple of my questions have been answered, although I fully don't understand the Colton thing, but it sounds like it's just to move the freight out of the way. And so that brings up the question, does that mean that the freight trains will not be going through Fullerton anymore? That's one question. The other one that came up when you told me how this thing works with side-by-side tracks, but somebody mentioned electrification. I'm concerned about that. The state has so screwed up our electricity that we have a hard time even running air conditioners. How are we going to run a train? The last question I have is 3 hours from Anaheim to San Francisco is a long time. You can make it an hour by plane. What's the advantage of having spending another 2 hours on a train? Thank you.
Okay. Well, I'll answer the freight question first, which is there will still be freight service in the Fullerton area. It just won't be as many. What we're doing in Colton is taking some of the freight off and moving some of that activity out to Colton. And for the 3 hours between San Francisco to L.A. and the 2 hours longer than the flight, our ride will be, it's a different experience than an airline, and if you have to leave your home an hour to 2 hours before the flight, and we've done all kinds of models and whatnot that show that door-to-door, it's about the same time. And if you're going from downtown L.A. to downtown San Francisco, it's actually less time if you count the travel time between those two city centers and airport travel time included. Again, our website, hsr.ca.gov, has a whole host of information regarding those travel times. And lastly, yes, we will be electric from through our whole entire line will be 25 kV. And we're working very closely with PG&E and SoCal Edison and other electric service providers throughout the state to assure that meeting our demand doesn't cause any challenges with other service demands for the ratepayers.
Thank you for that, Bruce. Up next, we have Gregory calling in from Pico Riviera, and he's got a question for Diane.
Hi,
go ahead, Gregory.
My name is Gregory Santana. Thank you. And thank you for the opportunity. My name is Gregory Santana with Pico Riviera. So the point is I live like maybe 5 miles from the Norwalk station. And the idea of going Norwalk to San Francisco is very intriguing. The big question I have is it one train, one seat to San Francisco, or do I have to change trains in L.A.?
Oh, hi, Gregory. Thank you so much for your question. This is one train, one seat. So you will get on in Norwalk, and you will get off in San Francisco.
Thanks very much. Next question is John. He's got a question for Bruce. John calling in from Banning. Go ahead.
Yes, my question is twofold forward thinking. First off, is this project going to be a design-build project? And second, is this project going to be covered by a project labor agreement with state building trades? Thank you.
Okay. Delivery of the project hasn't been decided yet. After we get through the environmental process, the High Street Rail Authority goes through a long process to figure out if we're going to go design, bid, build, or something else, CMGC. But my guess would be it'll probably be design, build, because that's what we've gone with in the Central Valley. But that decision hasn't been made. Labor agreements for PLAs, project labor agreements, are common in our industry, and that is what we've been doing in the Central Valley. Some of that work is union and some not. But again, the timing of the delivery of the project is when we would make those decisions. But we have a very strong relationship with labor, and I'm sure we would want to maintain that relationship with organized labor.
Thank you. Up next, we've got another question for you, Bruce. This is Aaron calling in from Norwalk. Aaron, go ahead with your question. Are you there, Aaron? All right, Bruce, what Aaron is wondering is, will there be a fee for the speed rail will the fee for the speed rail be at the station at Norwalk? Do you know what the fee will be?
We have mileage-based fees, so it depends on where he's going. So a ticket from Norwalk to Fresno would be a different price than a ticket from Norwalk to San Francisco. And as Diane mentioned earlier, we would have a one-seat ride from every station in our system to every station in another. So from one station to the other, we will have one-seat rides. And I believe the maximum price for a ticket, as indicated in our revenue forecast in the business plan, is I think it's $104. But without knowing what station you're going to, I can't give you anything more than that.
Great information. Thank you, Bruce. Up next, we've got a question for Tyler. This is Shirley calling in from Long Beach. Go ahead, Shirley.
Yeah, my next question was, is this similar to the high-speed rail in Tustin and Irvine?
So it will be different. Right now, you do have trains going pretty fast in the Tustin to Irvine section, up to 90 miles per hour. Those are Amtrak and Metrolink trains, though, that run with diesel locomotives. And, you know, basically just between L.A. and San Diego or L.A. and Oceanside. These will be electrified high-speed trains. The only real analog in the United States right now is between Boston and New York and Washington, D.C., the Acela service that Amtrak runs, and that goes up to 150 miles per hour. The better analogs are in other parts of the world. Especially in Europe and Asia, where you have these electrified high-speed trains that can go up to 220 miles per hour. Like Diane and Bruce said earlier, through this part of the corridor between Anaheim and Los Angeles, the trains will likely be going pretty similar to the speeds that Amtrak and Metrolink do right now, which is in the 79 mile per hour range at top speed. But then, like Diane said, once we get past Los Angeles and to parts of the state with more rural conditions where we can go straighter and faster, we can get up to speeds over 200 miles per hour. So that's what the service would look like.
Thanks for that, Tyler. Folks, we have a interactive survey question for you. We'd like you to participate by voting on your keypad. So I'm going to read a question and then some responses, and you can vote with the response that best describes your position. The question is, will you be participating in the upcoming scoping meeting on September 10th or on September 12th. If you will be participating in either of those meetings, press 1. If no, you will not, press 2. And if you are unsure, please press 3. Let me read that one more time. Will you be participating in the upcoming scoping meeting on September 10th or on September 12th? Press 1 for yes, press 2 for no, and press 3 if you're unsure. And you can continue voting. And Hanobeva, if I can ask you to give a little bit more information on those meetings as a reminder.
Absolutely. The two public scoping meetings are scheduled next week. So again, if you have your pen and paper handy, please make note. The first public scoping meeting is next Thursday, September 10th. It's an evening meeting beginning at 5 o'clock. From 5 to 6:30 will be the English presentation, including your formal comments. And then beginning at 6:30, the exact same presentation will be repeated in Spanish. And again, the presentation done and followed by questions for formal comments. The second meeting is Saturday, September 12th, from 10 o'clock a.m. to 12:30 p.m. And it's a similar format where the first hour and a half is dedicated to the English presentation and receiving formal public comments from attendees. At 11:30 that morning, we will switch and repeat the presentation in Spanish, followed by receiving the public's formal public scoping comments. So those are the two public scoping meetings coming up next week, the 10th, the 12th, on Thursday and Saturday. We try to vary the dates and times to make it more accommodating for folks. So everyone's schedule is a little different, so hopefully that works for you. And then just as a reminder, the final day to submit your comments, and I'll review all the methods besides what I've already mentioned. The final day is Thursday, September 24th. That will conclude the 30-day public comment period, Thursday, September 24th.
Thank you very much, Genoveva. And folks, just a reminder, you can still vote on the survey question, which was, will you be participating in one of the upcoming scoping meetings, September 10th or 12th? Press 1 for yes, press 2 for no, and press 3 if you're unsure. Our next question came in. This is a question for Bruce. I'm going to read it. Bruce, can you tell us the statewide benefits will for HSR be able to offer?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, we'll offer a service that runs in less than 3 hours from Los Angeles to San Francisco. We'll provide a cleaner air. We'll increase the economic viability of the state. We'll create jobs. We'll preserve agriculture and protected lands. We also expect it to be an economic driver for the areas that we will travel through. And we have an enormous programs with all of the municipalities where our stations exist. We're doing station area planning. We're also contributing to Los Angeles Union Station. We're assisting in funding that project, where they're putting in a new run-through track that we will use when we come along. But that project's been through its environmental clearance, and it's going right now through the procurement process to get constructed. We're also having some impact on safety in this area because we're contributing to the Rosecrans-Marquardt grade separation, which is a grade separation that's right within this reach that the High Speed Rail Authority is contributing to. And we'll see immediate benefits from the high-speed rail project by building that one. And we also have our first station in the state that was opened, and it's Arctic, and it's in Anaheim. So we will have impacts, and we currently are having positive impacts throughout the state, and especially in Southern California.
Thanks very much, Bruce. We appreciate that overview. Next, we have George calling in from Montebello, and he has a question for Tyler. Go ahead, George, please.
Hi. So I guess part of my question has already been answered with regard to speed that is going to be maintained in the metropolitan area. I heard 79 with a capacity of up to 220 miles per hour. So my question was, what type of safety measures are being implemented to protect communities against a derailment event? About 10 years ago, we had a disaster in the community here where a runaway train got up to 80-something miles per hour and derailed and caused a pretty significant damage to the community here nearby. And then follow-up to that is, I keep hearing that travel between LA and the San Francisco Bay Area is 3 hours, and that seems to be the point or the advertisement or a driver or, you know, but there seems to be a small population that would travel from Los Angeles to the Bay Area on a continuous basis. It seems that this project is pretty expensive. I think it could be that you know, the money could be better spent to help the larger population with transit solutions that apply to most of us, right, that travel in vehicles and such. If you could comment to what the revenue expected is and how will it be sustained if there's not enough passengers, what is the plan for that? Thanks.
All right, I'll start with a couple of these questions, and then I think Bruce might be able to answer a couple of the more statewide policy type ones also. But focusing on safety measures for derailment, I think really the centerpiece of that is positive train control. That is something that's been implemented across the country, including on Metrolink now, And the basic thing that Positive Train Control does is acts as kind of a backup for the human driver of the train, so that if there is a situation where, say, the train is going too fast for a curve, or not slowing down for a red signal or a switch or for a station, that that system basically kicks in and automatically stops the train. And so it's proven pretty effective, I think, with Metrolink over these years at preventing those types of situations that you talked about. And it should be also effective at stopping trains from going too fast, basically, in areas where they should be going slower. For the travel from LA to San Francisco, I guess what I'd say is two things. One is that this is really intended to compete with flying and with driving between those two areas right now. And it's a really big market of people doing that. If you think about all of the plane flights that take off from LAX, from Hollywood Burbank Airport, from John Wayne Airport, from Ontario Airport, and head up to the Bay Area in Sacramento, it's a really big number. And high-speed rail is very competitive for trips of that length. If you look around the world at some of the most successful high-speed train markets between places like, say, Madrid and Barcelona in Spain, or between Tokyo and Osaka in Japan, those are all very similar in distance as it is between Los Angeles and San Francisco. And they have had trains basically take over a really major share of that market from airplanes. So it's been proven around the world for kind of markets of this size and this distance, and we think it would perform well. And then I think, like Bruce said, in a more environmentally sustainable way. Bruce, anything else you want to add to that?
No, Tyler, you've covered it all. You left out Munich to Berlin as a similarly sized system that has proven to not only take cars off the road in Germany, and you know how Germans love their cars, and they've also, the airports have reduced the number of flights and used the gates for longer haul flights, which are more profitable. So you'd be surprised that the airlines are actually encouraging us to develop our system so that they can use that gate space for the more profitable long haul flights. And again, just as Tyler said, the positive train control is meant to be a backup for the engineer. And our signaling system will have the capabilities of positive train control, but it will also have the ability to do what's called automatic train operation, so that if the engineer is not doing anything right, the train will let him know, and then if he doesn't adjust his behavior, it will take over. So those are the things that the safety measures that we'll employ. And lastly, I will say that FRA, we have to get a safety certification, which is a huge deal where we have to prove that all our systems work as designed, and we have to run all these train activation tests. We do dynamic testing. We do static testing. And only after we have proven to the FRA in a number of different ways, over almost 2 years, can we run a revenue service train. So hope that answers your question.
Thank you very much, Tyler and Bruce. Tyler, we've got another question for you. Why is the scoping process so important to this project?
Yeah, well, it's really our way to figure out what we should be looking at and what the community is interested in. It's something that's required by the state and the federal environmental processes because it really helps the different agencies that are analyzing the environmental impacts of projects understand what's important to the community. And it's also an important way to inform people of the project so that they know what's happening. They're ready to see the draft environmental document when it comes out and understand the benefits and impacts of the project. So it's really kind of twofold, getting the word out and hearing what the main concerns are that we should study in our document.
Thank you for that, Tyler. One more question for you. Why are some, can you tell us what some of the rail safety features this project actually include?
That is a good question. I think the main thing that I talked about already was positive train control. And I don't know that I'll rehash that. And the other thing I think that that Bruce hit on with his remarks is the design of the trains themselves. And there's pretty rigorous federal requirements to make sure that they are safe for riders and for the surrounding community. And then when it comes to the design of the tracks and all the rest of the elements of the project, we have pretty rigorous design standards to make sure that they are safe. So I think those are the three main components there, the control systems, the vehicles themselves, and the infrastructure that they run on.
Thank you so much. Up next, we have a question for Lena. Lena, can you tell us what some of the major design characteristics of the Colton and Lendwood project components are?
Sure, thank you for that question. As discussed earlier, if high-speed rail service is added to the existing corridor, traffic within that corridor would become congested, and over time, service levels would degrade. So therefore, additional facilities and improvements are necessary. And those two facilities, or two locations, would be Colton and Lynnwood. Let me start with Colton. Colton would be located, the intermodal facility would be located on the former Cal-Portland cement site. And for those of you who are from the Inland Empire or familiar with that site, it was a cement company that had been in existence since the 1890s. And it's an industrial site. And so that facility would be transformed into a new intermodal facility where we would be able to move freight to and from local destinations more efficiently. The facility would entail green technology. And what I mean by that is electric cargo handling equipment would be implemented at that facility. It also has some economic benefits in terms of jobs and would be an economic stimulus to that region of the Inland Empire and the entire Southern California area. So Lynnwood is up in the high desert, and that would entail four staging tracks. And those staging tracks would be adjacent to our existing right-of-way. And we would hold trains on that on those tracks as high-speed rail is doing construction within the corridor and after high-speed rail tracks are built, when maintenance work is being done, we would hold those trains up in the high desert versus bringing them down into the corridor, congesting that area further.
Thank you very much. Lena, Calvin is next, calling in from Montebello. I'm going to read Calvin's question for Bruce. Is Union Station going to be a part of the segment from LA to Anaheim? And where are we on the funding of this project? Do you have a timeline for when construction will begin and when the project will be complete? Bruce?
I know LA Union Station was its own environmental document, and it would take Tyler or Diane to tell you if it's included in this segment or the Burbank to LA segment as far as our document goes. But I believe it was its own document. So Union Station, I don't know if it's a part of this segment, but we will run trains to it and from it on into Burbank. The funding for this part of the project, we haven't identified a funding source for the LA to Anaheim segment. However, our business plan, should we get all the funding we need and things change with our funding partners, the timeline for construction would be such that we would be in revenue service by 2033. That's what our business plan says for the phase one service. So backing off of 2033 for revenue service, the time that it would take to build it, and our environmental document, I'm not familiar with our construction schedules within the document, but currently that's our draft business plan has us 2033 for being in revenue service.
And just to follow up on, oh.
Yeah.
Sorry, Bruce. I was just going to follow up on the LA Union Station question. So there's currently a project being done by Metro, funded in large part by High Speed Rail, called Link Union Station, or Link Us, which is proposing basically new tracks out the south end of Union Station over the 101 freeway and then to connect down to the Los Angeles River, in addition to some improvements at the station. This really, it allows trains to just run straight through from north to south or south to north, and really unlocks a lot of capacity at Union Station. Both the Burbank to Los Angeles environmental document for High Speed Rail and the Los Angeles to Anaheim ones do include Union Station in the analysis, but they basically assume that Link Union Station is built by Metro, and that what our projects do is basically come in and electrify the tracks to make them suitable for High Speed Rail. In the interim, they can be used by Amtrak and Metrolink, and that the platforms are modified to serve high speed trains. So the answer is yes, we do have the station there, but it's really mainly covered by that Metro environmental document for Link Union Station.
Thanks very much, Tyler. We have another question. This comes from Glenn. He's got a question for Tyler. Glenn, can you please tell us where you're calling from and then go ahead with your question?
Yes, from La Mirada. Thank you for this opportunity. Question for Tyler or Diane. I looked on your preliminary map and noted that at the Buena Park Station, there was a short pink segment indicating that the rail route would be below grade, if I'm not mistaken. And I wonder if you could please clarify whether that is subterranean track. Would it go below one of the streets? And if you would require dewatering?
So I can speak to that in general. I'm not sure I can speak to the dewatering question just because I don't know that we've gotten very detailed in our construction assumptions yet. But in short, yes, that is a section of track that would be going underground. There's really two reasons for it. One is that we need to cross the high-speed rail track to the other side of the railroad corridor. And so to do that, we have to bring the tracks either over or under the freight tracks in the corridor. We also have a situation there where just east of the Buena Park station, we run past Fullerton Airport, and there are clearance issues, especially for putting in overhead poles for the electrical wires that require us to depress the high-speed rail tracks underground so that they don't conflict with the flight path of the airport. So basically, in looking at those two situations, needing to cross the tracks over or under the freight tracks and needing to clear the flight path for the airport, we decided to go down and kind of kill two birds with one stone and do both of those in that area. So we basically have the high-speed rail tracks crossing under the freight tracks and then under the flight path of the airport and coming back up to grade. We don't currently have any major changes in the streets planned, which I think is Dale and Ellis, I think, is in the area there. And we'll provide some more detail about that with the engineering plans that would be included with our environmental document as it's released next year.
Thank you so much for that. Folks, we have another survey question. We'd love to have your input. The question is, which county are you calling from? Press 1 for Los Angeles, press 2 for Orange County, press 3 for Riverside, press 4 for San Bernardino, and press 5 for other. Again, which county are you calling from? Press 1 for Los Angeles, press 2 for Orange County, press 3 for Riverside, press 4 for San Bernardino, and press 5 for other. You can go ahead and continue to vote. We appreciate you being with us on this call and appreciate all of the great questions. Panoveva, would you like to share the contact information with everybody one more time, please?
Absolutely. Some key phone numbers and web addresses for you to jot down to make sure that you're in communication or have a line of communication with the authority about the project. First and foremost is the LA to Anaheim Project Section Helpline. That phone number is 877-669-0494. Again, that's 877-669-0494. That number is a 24/7 helpline where you can also submit your formal public comments on the public during the scoping period, as long as they are received by Thursday, September 24th. So make sure you make note of that, and that helpline will continue after September 24th to continue receiving ongoing project inquiries as we have been doing over the years. A couple of other points of information: the project website, where the environmental document, as we've been talking about, the notice of preparation and notice of intent, those two documents provide you the best detail available now about the project, and those are both available on the project website. That web address is meethsrsocal.org. Again, meethsrsocal.org. Navigate that website. It's organized like a virtual open house or public information repository. On the menu that you can click either on your phone or off of your desktop computer, there's a series of stations or areas of information where you can receive the various background about the statewide program, information specific to this project, how to comment, and of course, the details about our upcoming public scoping meeting. I also want to mention, Bruce has been referring to the main website of the authority. Both websites provide links to each other, so it really is fine for you to go to either one. The meethsrsocal.org is specifically organized for the project section. You'll also see that there's a link there on the landing page to take you to the Burbank to LA project section, for example. So they're designed specifically to give the public an easy jump point into those projects and for you to receive those documents and upcoming meeting dates and times that are relevant to that project specifically. However, the authority website, the hsr.ca.gov website, is the official main website of the authority as an agency. That is where you find program information from the beginning of time about the project, ongoing board meeting information, project information maps, ongoing news items, construction updates. As we've been mentioning, the project is an active project, live construction going on today in the Central Valley, so there's a lot of activity about the progress of that project as it's been occurring over the last few years. So those are some very key points of information for you to keep in mind as you follow along. You can also submit or request to be on the mailing list through the authority website. So we always encourage stakeholders and folks who just want to make sure that you receive ongoing notice about the project, so be sure to sign up for that at the main website. You can also email the authority directly to make sure that you're on that web, rather on that database, or for any ongoing inquiry. That web address, again, is los.angeles_anaheim@hsr.ca.gov. That is also where you can submit a formal scoping comment, again, no later than Thursday, September 24th. So there's multiple ways to stay in touch with the authority. We are specifically encouraging you to remain apprised of the Los Angeles to Anaheim section as we are in public scoping until Thursday, September 24th, making sure the public is aware of these two additional project components in the Inland Empire that are part of the overall project description and will be included in the environmental document as it's released in spring of 2021, as we've mentioned. That's a quick overview of key points of information. Ivan, back to you if there's any additional questions. Just quick time check. We're at 7:25, so it looks like we'll be able to address questions right on time, and then I can follow up just to close out the call in a few minutes.
Thank you very much, Genoveva. We're going to take Edward calling in from West LA. He's got a question for Diane and possibly Lena. So let's go ahead. Edward, go ahead with your question.
Hi. I am calling in regarding to the BNSF Lentwood project over in Barstow. I'm sorry, I called in a little bit late, so I apologize if you already covered this. Is there a projected construction date for this activity? And can you talk a little bit of detail of what type of construction operation will take place?
I was on mute and I was talking. Edward, I didn't hear the second part of your question. Would you mind repeating that?
And the second part was if you could talk a bit of detail regarding what type of construction and operation will take place at the BNSF Lentwood project.
Okay. So thank you for your question, Edward. The Lentwood staging tracks are going to be necessary prior to the construction of the Los Angeles to Anaheim high-speed rail section, because when the construction is going on, the NSF will need to hold some trains at Lentwood while capacity frees up on the tracks. So I say that because the business plan for California high-speed rail currently projects the opening day of high-speed rail being 2033 for the Los Angeles to Anaheim section. We are still the funding sources are still being worked out. The project is not fully funded. So we are not clear yet when construction for Los Angeles to Anaheim is going to happen, but the Lentwood staging tracks will need to be in place prior to the construction of the Los Angeles to Anaheim section. And I think you asked about construction methods, and that is still being determined. This project is being studied currently, and that's a very good question to submit as a scoping comment. Lena, do you have anything to add to this?
No, I think you, Diane, answered it well. I mean, I agree with you that specific construction start dates at this time would be impossible to answer, given that there are a number of factors, including funding, and when and if that's available. So those components would not be built until approval of the final environmental impact report and the record of decision, and we still have some time until that actually takes place.
Thanks, Diane and Lena. Thank you very much. We appreciate that. We are at our allotted time. We've taken many, many questions. We appreciate everyone who's participated tonight. If you have a question that you need answered, then you can hang on to this call to the very end of this call in just a moment here, and you can leave a voicemail. So just hang on if you have another question. And with that, I'll turn it over to Genoveva to bring us to the finish line, but I think we have time for one more question. So I'm going to take Barbara here from Anaheim. Barbara, go ahead with your question.
Thank you for taking my call. Where will these meetings on the 10th and the 12th take place? Will they be online, or do people need to travel to Sacramento?
I would be happy to answer that question, Barbara. Thank you so much for asking it, because actually the tradition of the California High-Speed Rail Authority is to hold our meetings in very convenient locations across our project areas. However, because of our unfortunate pandemic situation where public in-person meetings are not encouraged, especially by public agencies, both the scoping meetings on September 10th and 12th will take place online, specifically through a Zoom public meeting platform. The links for the Zoom meetings, and they are unique links, one for the 10th and a different one for the 12th, are available online now. At our meethsrsocal.org website. very easy to navigate. As you land on that website, click on the Los Angeles to Anaheim button that will take you right to our project section, and you can see a quick link that will take you right to the webinar dates, times, and, of course, the Zoom links. So please check that out, and we very much encourage you to make one of the meetings. It's not necessary to attend both meetings. They are identical, and they're intended to provide different days and different times to make it convenient to the most people possible to provide us their formal public scoping comment. So as Ivan mentioned, we are at the end of our, yes.
May I just add one thing?
Please, absolutely.
With regard to the online scoping meetings, if you do not have internet access, there is a telephone number to call into with an access code. And rather than giving you the phone number right now and you trying to write it down in the last seconds of this call, we have a telephone hotline. And if you do not have internet access and you need us to provide the telephone number and the access code for you for the scoping meetings, please call into our line and we will call you back. So does somebody have that telephone number handy,
Absolutely. The
800 number?
Yes. Yes, I do. So Barbara, that number where you can get the information that Diane mentioned is 877-669-0494. Save that as a helpline number that you can call for any information about the LA to Anaheim project section. We very much encourage people to reach us, and we're happy to help you. Again, that number is 877-669-0494. 0494 to receive the specific call-in information for the two public meetings or any other questions you might have. Thank you, Diane. So I will review the four ways that we are encouraging you to provide a formal public comment on the Los Angeles to Anaheim project section scoping documents as we have available to the public now. The first way is to provide your verbal comment directly to the authority at one of the two scoping meetings that we've just been announcing. Again, next Thursday, September 10th, and next Saturday, September 12th. The Thursday, September 10th meeting is from 5 o'clock to 7:30 p.m., and on Saturday, it is Saturday, September 12th, it's from 10 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. You can also call that same helpline at 877-669-0494 and actually leave your formal public comment on the recorded message, the recorded line. Indicate that is your formal scoping comment. Please, it'll ask you to leave your name, any affiliation, and provide us your comment, and it can be received and recorded that way. The third way is to send us an email. Our email address is los.angeles_anaheim@hsr.ca.gov. Be sure to include in the subject line scoping comment, and we'll know that that is an official formal comment from you. And you can include your email to us, your message in the email, and you can also attach documents to submit to us. A lot of folks do a formal letter on their letterhead and submit a comment that way. Speaking of letterhead, the final way that you can submit a formal public comment is by mail. Please address your letter to Mr. Mark McLaughlin. Again, that last name is spelled McLaughlin. His title is Director of Environmental Services. Please send it to the attention of the Los Angeles to Anaheim Project Section in care of the California High Speed Rail Authority. The mailing address is 770 L Street. Again, that's 770 L as in Lion Street, suite number 620. MS-2, that's mail stop dash 2, Sacramento, California, 95814. So there's plenty of ways to make sure you submit your formal comment, and we are very grateful for you to submit them. If in case you're curious, we had more than a third of you indicate to us that you will be participating. Excuse me, more than half of you indicate that you will be participating at next week's public scoping meetings, and another third indicating that you just might. So we really encourage your attendance or participation at the meetings or any of the other methods, as I indicated. And in case you're curious, more than a third of the folks on the line today were from Los Angeles, a quarter from Orange County, and another third from the Inland Empire, both San Bernardino and Riverside County. This is a large project corridor, project study area, so we are happy to receive and are grateful that we have a diversity of individuals who are following and participating today. So with that, I want to give one final reminder that we also have office hours that are available for individuals who want to have a one-on-one session with an authority staff member. We are happy to do that. Those dates, again, are Friday, September 11th from 1 to 3 p.m., Monday, September 14th from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., Wednesday, September 16th from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., and Tuesday, September 22nd from 12 noon to 2 p.m. You can sign up for appointments on the meethsrsocal.org website. There's a special link to schedule an appointment, or again, by calling us at our helpline at 877-669-0494. Again, we are not able to answer specific impact questions, but again, we want to make sure we engage with you and ensure that we're providing information to you that might be helpful to you at this time. Last day to submit formal comments, Thursday, September 24th, midnight, is the last day to submit your scoping comments. Please get your thoughts, concerns, issues into us. We are very interested in receiving them. And once again, on behalf of the authority and the BNSF team, we so much are grateful to you for spending your time with us this evening, informing yourself about this very important program to improve transportation and provide high-speed rail service here in Southern California and throughout the state of California. Once again, have a very good evening. Thank you for participating. Good night.